Well, good evening, BBS Radio. We'd like to take this time to welcome our listeners doing the simulcast. At this time, Heist is doing daddy duty with soccer, and I am Donna from Great Falls, Montana, sitting in, or standing in, or possibly falling in. But anyway, we're still having callers call in, and I did hear another couple callers come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, this is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Nice to hear you, Donna.
Thank you. Enjoy being with you all very much.
This is Don in Northern Ohio.
It's my favorite Don. Welcome to the call, Don.
Thanks.
Hi, Don. All
right.
Hi, everybody.
All right. Next caller, would you like to say your name and location?
Come here, Pia. Up.
No.
Ruthann?
Up.
Welcome to the call.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. How are you, Mr. Free?
That was me that said no. Now.
Insanity runs wild tonight.
Now tell me, let's just see. Is Pauline here?
Pauline's here.
Pauline?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I
can. And is Terry here?
Yes.
Hi, Terry. Okay. Terry.
Hi.
Okay. Let's just jump into this call, okay?
Because
this is a really cool subject, and I'll bet we run out of time before we say everything.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Now, you know, imagine if we could afford it, we could just pay for everybody, pay your rent, hook you up to a phone line, and talk for a month straight, right? A marathon. I don't know how we do this. Hang on a second. Let me get rid of...
All callers are muted.
Oh, I'm very muted. Okay, Andrea and exit chimes are off. We are going to start the recording. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 8th, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Donna in Montana, who has been greeting people. Pauline in... Are you in Los Angeles, Pauline?
Yes.
And I'm not going to call you my guest. I'll call you my cohort, okay?
Sure, whatever.
And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Pauline and I started to have a conversation. She's been coming to our calls for a long time. And she was usually very quiet in the background. And she is Chinese, born in China. I think brought up in China, goes back to China fairly often, has teachers in China, and is really, in her own way, quite wise, not only about China, but about things in general. She's very perceptive. She's also a healer. And one of the early things I learned about her was that she was very sensitive and would pick up on people's energies and then would kind of stay in the background. So this is a bold move for you, Pauline?
Let's say it's a progression. How's that?
It's a progression. What would you like to tell people about yourself?
I've been coming to these calls for quite a while, and I just kind of quickly looked it up, and I guess I bumped into you or the first time I met Wynn was actually back in 2009, so it's been quite a number of years, and I've enjoyed all these calls, and as Wynn said, I like to be in the background listening, so yeah, and I was actually born and raised in Hong Kong, so it's slightly different from China, so I have a slightly different perspective about China than somebody that was born and raised in China, mainland China. And I came over here for college, and I've been here back and forth since then.
Mm-hmm. Right. What did you study in college?
I am a pharmacist. I had been sort of not proud about saying that to people for a while, but I think I'm finally coming to terms with it. So I'm a pharmacist. I dispense hazardous medication, and I've also studied Chinese medicine. And as Wynn said, I do sense energy, and I could in some special occasions help heal people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know, in preparation for this call, I pulled up two of the books that I have influenced me, in fact, quite a bit, not just casually, when I was younger, and I was reading everything and trying to figure out how things worked. And one of the books was the Tao Te Ching, and the other one was the I Ching. And the Tao Te Ching is actually almost, you might say, it's a book of parables. Not quite the way that Jesus does parables, but little things, little sayings that are extremely deep, but they don't make sense, okay? And but they don't make sense, but they do make sense, because it triggers, just like Jesus' parables can trigger you into a contemplation of grasping something. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that Jesus did parables was because he was under the gun, and he had to speak. One of the reasons, probably not the only one, but he had to speak in a cryptic way to not get himself into any more trouble than he was already in. I don't know if that's true with the Tao Te Ching.
I think it's true for all wise people, because you can only say enough to not get yourself into trouble.
Right.
And there's a saying in Chinese that, you know, that these are sort of like universal laws, in a sense, that universal laws are supposed to be for the universe, not for humans. So a lot of the times, that's why they are very cryptic, and it's also a very old book, so the writing itself is ancient. So it makes it even more difficult that way.
Are you talking about the I Ching or the Tao Te Ching?
They're both pretty old. The I Ching is actually older, because the I Ching is probably around 3,000, if not more, years ago. The Tao Te Ching is probably 1,500, I think.
Well, actually, I just looked up the Tao Te Ching, okay?
Yeah.
And he's usually dated around 6th century B.C.
Yeah, so that's about 1,500 years.
And supposedly a contemporary of Confucius. But if you've ever read Confucius on fortune cookies, you know, my take is that Lao Tzu goes a step deeper, the Tao Te Ching. And, as I recall, I looked up Wikipedia on Lao Tzu. Are you familiar with the history of Lao Tzu?
Yeah.
Well, take a minute and tell people about it.
Wow, that I'm not sure if I can actually say a minute, but apparently what I know about Lao Tzu is that he actually studied. So what happened was the Renaissance period in terms of thought and philosophy in China actually was, you know, the time of Confucius, which is about 2,500 years ago. So by the time of Lao Tzu, it's actually where everything has been written down, and he basically absorbed a lot of all these different philosophies at that time. And his is actually not the same, you know, if we really want to look into it, it's not really the same as Confucius, but it does have that same, how should I say it, same sense that, you know, all these different philosophies are to make people better or help them to improve themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he was apparently a librarian, and so he basically studied a lot of the different things, and I think he can continue about, I guess he got to prison or something?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I think that Confucius was more worldly, I think, and worldly wisdom. And Lao Tzu was more transcendental. Could I say that? What do you think? Do you agree with that one?
I guess that what Confucius actually, you have to think about when Confucius was, what he was doing basically was he was going to all these different, it's considered sort of like Europe, with all these little different countries. And what Confucius was doing was he was going around talking to these kings and rulers about how to rule, or how to rule the country, how to prepare your own home, how to prepare your own self. So it's more, you said it's more, it could say it's more homey, but it's also, you know, that's more relevant to that time when there's a lot of conflicts between the different states.
It was more practical, okay?
Right, it was more practical in it,
yeah.
And Lao Tzu, And Lao Tzu basically started this sort of like, as you said, more like a dental meditation type movement in terms of spirituality, and also in terms of going inwards, looking at the different, you know, looking into your energetic body, looking into your soul, looking into your, you know, all the different layers that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of them are astronomers, so they all know the skies and all the stars and everything.
Astrologers as well?
Yeah. The way that they said it, the way it's sort of discussed in Chinese is that you always learn about medicine. You always learn about fortune telling. You also learn about the stars or astrology, and you learn about, you know, looking at the palmistry and looking at the face and all that stuff. So all those things sort of came from, you know, the origins are the same. And we now know about it. Everything is kind of the same. It's like how they all came from some quote unquote high intelligence that have come and, you know, shared those information with us. So when we talk about ancient scholars in China, doesn't matter which philosophy they preaches, they are all very well versed in all these different aspects. And of course, that includes, you know, like, you know, farming and agriculture and all that stuff, because everything sort of kind of goes into the circle of life.
Now, tell me, does the common man in China read the Tao Te Ching? Because it's No, this is kind of for sophisticated people.
Okay, so there is a trend right now that these are considered to be, the term they use, I don't really know exactly how to translate these terms, but I think it's sort of like traditional knowledge, that there is now all of a sudden a revival. So because what happened was there were no, like, schools like in any country, you know, from the ancient times, is that only the rich people or only, you know, can go to school. And school in the old days was to read these classic books. But nowadays, nobody does that. But so this is revival of, like, we have to go back and read these classic books. So Tao Te Ching is actually something that people do read a lot, is because it does helps you to appreciate relationships with people, especially the elders and all that stuff. So people kind of like it that way. The I Ching is something that probably would only be, you know, the I Ching, number one, is it's a very difficult book to read, and, you know, as you said, there's a lot of things that people can't really, you cannot from a cognitive level understand a lot of these stuff. You have to kind of let it marinate and consciously and subconsciously comes up with ideas and actions. So, but the I Ching is a book that, you know, if you're interested in, say, what I was telling you about medicine, astrology, fortune telling, all these, then you would be interested in reading it, because it is quote unquote the book of change, right?
Well, I happen to have been really addicted to the I Ching when I was younger. Okay, and I was amazed when I read it how deep it was.
Right.
Of course, I didn't know how deep I was at the time.
Right.
So I thought the Chinese must really be deep to understand this stuff. But as part of this call, I'm going to tell people how to try using the I Ching, how you can use it to ask mm-hmm. it a question.
Right, yeah.
Because I did that mm-hmm. probably thousands of times, and I could not believe how accurate it could be. And now I kind of understand how it works, kind of. I mean, you can't understand any of this stuff totally linearly, but I have the feel of it. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I didn't. I was just saying, man, how does this wisdom come out? But in any case, let's try a couple things. If it's okay with you, I have a couple sayings here of Lao Tzu. And
okay, go ahead.
No, wait a second. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Okay, I'm going to put our group on the spot. I'm going to read the saying, and I'm going to see what people come up with, how they understand it. Okay.
Sure. Go ahead.
So okay, and then you can be the expert. Okay. So, let me unmute everybody.
Disclaimer, I'm not the expert.
Okay.
We're just here to share.
All callers are unmuted.
You know what? if she said she was the expert, she'd be blowing it, because you can't be... If Lao Tzu... I think this is in Lao Tzu. He who says he knows doesn't know. Something like that. Isn't that in Lao Tzu? He
right.
says he knows.
Everything he said is like, it's sort of like, it's yes, but it's no, and then inside the no, there's a yes. So,
right. It's the epitome of yin yang.
Right. Right. And but then yin yang to a point where it goes back to the one. So everything
right.
sort
right.
of like everything kind of goes back to the oneness, which is what we've been talking about all these years. But it's just how it sort of expresses in the twos and the threes and the fours and all the way up to 64.
Okay. No, I didn't just mute you, did I? No. Well, I think it's very cool, because I think Pauline just said it in a really great way. I'm trying to mute people. I got all the lines open now. So if you have noise on your line, do star 6, or else I'm going to have to mute everybody, and then you'll have to do star 6 to say something. So here is our Tao Te Ching statement. Too much noise, huh? Not too much noise? Hang on a second. Where are you, Hives? Are you here? Good work. Who is that? Oh, I think that's Canada. Okay, Pauline? Pauline, are you there? Hello, Pauline. I didn't mute you, did I?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Pauline, where are you? Hang on a second.
Maybe she dropped out.
Maybe she did. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me try this. here we go. I'm going to give you a Lao Tzu statement. And you're going to see how... I'm not going to tell you what you're going to see. Okay? Because maybe you won't. When goodness is lost, it is replaced by morality. Anyone understand that? Anyone want to take a shot at trying to explain what that means?
Yeah, I'll take a shot at it. Yeah.
Who's that?
I think it means...
Who is that?
Jeannie. Jeannie.
Okay, Jeannie, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
When I think that he means that goodness comes from your heart, spontaneously, in the now, that if you can't relate to, if you're not in touch with that, then society has to make up a bunch of rules to live by. And
exactly. That's exactly the way I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Like, when you have a conscience, when you're intuitive, you make the right choices, and you don't have to follow a set of guidelines, okay? But if you don't have that ability, it's better to have a set of guidelines than not, okay? Pauline, are you here?
Well, I think it's even closer to the individual than what you said, that if you have lost your sense of goodness and your sense of heart, then you develop morality. You look at the world in a moral term instead of in the heartfelt term.
Well, I think that's true also. It's like somebody that's a Christian, for example, and says he's a sinner, right? Or you can't do that because that's against the Bible, right? But you know, there's always, even in positive things, there always is a set of, usually, there's a set of rules to say what's good and what's bad, and that becomes morality. It becomes spiritual rules, and Shirley, I'm Marler. You're making a lot of noise. Let me mute you. Okay, there you go. And let's try another one here. Pauline, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
I think you had muted my other line, so I called back in.
Oh, okay. Okay, here's a good one. The usefulness of a pot comes from its emptiness. Anyone want to say what they think that means?
Nobody move.
The English translation is already a lot more simplified.
It was so good, it was used.
Okay, the usefulness of a pot comes from its emptiness. How about you, Pauline? I got that one.
This is actually quite simple, because when you're full of something, you cannot accept anymore.
That's right. It's
being open and being flexible, being, you know, able to adjust to your environment. That's how you kind of flow in the flow.
It's like, did you ever try to talk about our work to someone who was totally an expert on everything, and how it doesn't go in? It's like when somebody is empty, they come to the place of openness because there's room to put something in. And, you know, emptiness could also be like neutrality. You know, where
not being in a judgmental mode.
Yeah, not being judgmental. Okay.
Which is actually very similar to how we would like to say nowadays is like we like to be in the state of flow, in the state of non-judgmental, in the state of being compassion, being in service in others. It's just like if you are so full of yourself, you cannot really do anything that I just said.
You know, okay, now here's a good one. Try to change it, and you will ruin it.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. I think what we'll do is we got all this background noise. So if you want to say something.
Good. I mean, Pauline is a moderator, right?
Yes.
Pardon? Yeah, Pauline is a moderator. But I want to let people come up and see if they can. If anyone wants to take a shot at explaining it, try to change it, and you will ruin it. Try to hold it, and you will lose it. I think that's brilliant. Star 6, if you want to explain it. Try to change it, you will ruin it. Try to hold it, and you will lose it.
Well, I love it.
I would say let it run its natural course.
Yeah. Do you want to explain that, Hayes? Let's give Hayes a chance.
You want to have my say on it?
Have your say. Yeah. Let's hear your
say. I love it. I just jump in over here, but I love what you guys are talking about. It's very interesting.
Okay.
And what I can do, Wynn, is I can just open up the lines and just mute the noise lines, all right?
Okay. And were you going to try to interpret that phrase? That's what we're doing now. Come on, Eyes. You jumped in and said you loved it, so I figured you must have known what it was.
You know what, Wynn? I still have soccer on my mind right now.
Sounds like a good name for a song. I got soccer on my mind. Okay. All right. Let's unmute for a second and see if anyone else wants to try. Try to change it.
All callers are unmuted.
Try to hold it, and you will lose it. Anyone want to give a shot?
Yes, acceptance of the now.
Acceptance of the now. Is that Raiden?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's it. Anyone else have an idea? Try to change it, you will ruin it. Try to hold it, you will lose it.
It makes me think about relationships.
I think that's perfect for relationships. Okay? Yeah. Hi, it's okay. Go ahead and mute everybody. And, Pauline?
So,
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So I think when we're reading about ancient Chinese texts, the context we have to keep in mind is that there is a clear distinction between the mind and the spirit or the soul. So my interpretation is that sometimes when we are really trying to do something, it's coming from the mind. It's coming from, maybe some people like to use the word ego, coming from that pushy, sense. When we should allow it to just, you know, as someone just said, to allow it to unfold and you know, to go for its course. So it's more like a change in a way that is not, it's almost like, you know, that Eastern philosophy of doing things not always in a direct way, but more like in an indirect way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I could say, you know, change the current so the boat, you know, sail to a different direction. Or something like that. Yeah.
You know, I think the person said it sounds like good advice for relationships. I think if you apply it to relationships,
mm-hmm.
or and it doesn't have to be romantic, but
right.
it becomes really clear in terms of relationships because it says, try and change it and you will ruin it. I mean, it's another way of saying, judge not, okay?
And it's like, also, you know, your expectations.
Right. It's like
you know what I would say, Wynn, is that to change things, that's what you do in the future, but that's the wrong place. You need to live from the now.
Right. Yeah. But you know, if you accept something, if you truly accept something,
mm-hmm.
it will very often change because it's accepted.
Right.
But when you try to change something, you're making it wrong.
Right.
And
everything
you're saying,
Yeah, everything is energy and vibration. So is that vibrational, the differences between them, and how do you go by changing things?
And then try to hold it, and you will lose it. That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from William Blake,
mm-hmm.
English poet.
Right.
He who catches the joy as it flies lives in eternity sunrise. But he who binds himself to a joy does the winged life destroy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And to me, it's talking about unconditional love. Or that's
mm-hmm.
another way of interpreting that sentence.
Right.
It's being able to love something or, you know, to connect with something without possessing it, okay? Because when you try to possess it, you lose the very thing that was that attracted it to you. Okay, the idea of possession of energy. You see, energy is always in a flow. It's always changing. Now, if you can move into a flow with another person, then you can flow together, and the energy sustains. And you can keep having each other, either as friends or a relationship or however. But when you try to hold the other person, and this is like really big human nature, because when you're in that flow space, you can see what's best in another person. You want them. What a beautiful person. And then you try to hold it, and whatever you saw isn't there anymore. So I think that's very wise. Terry, are you on the line? Unmute Terry. Terry?
Yeah, okay, there, I unmuted. Yes.
Well, you
I
know,
think this is very wise.
You never heard these things, did you, Terry?
I used to read the in the floor.
This is not the I Ching, this is the Tao Te Ching. And just telling you all that, you know, in the email I sent out for this call, luckily for us, the copyright has run out on this book. So there's a PDF, you can read them. And Marilyn, who does the Reading Club, and if anyone's interested in being the Reading Club, this is a really good little thing to inspire people to talk. And, you know, send Marilyn an email or send me an email. Say you want to be in the Reading Club, and people meet once a week and they discuss live books, especially ours. But, you know, it's open the door to anything. Okay.
And Marilyn's probably very good at this, too.
Marilyn?
Yeah, she's probably very well versed in these books, just like you.
I don't know.
Yeah, she said that last time.
She did? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But I may be well versed, but you're authentic.
Well, I'm going to say thank you.
You know.
Yeah, because I would say I definitely had past lives in Italy.
You did. Okay. Now let's see. Let's pick another one here. Now I thought chapter 2 had some really good ones in it. As soon as virtue is being known as something good, it becomes evil. Mm-hmm. I love that one, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes people want to compliment me because they think I did a good job. And I usually snap back at them, be quiet, because I know how it works, that when I'm doing a good job, I know in the moment I'm doing a good job. I don't need anyone to tell me afterwards I did a good job. And I know that people, when they tell me, they're not telling me, they only want to connect with the energy and give something to me. So they're not doing something that's bad or wrong, that's fine. It's just that whatever propensity I would have for ego, and I know in the past when I was younger, I craved attention, I craved recognition, and I saw how that worked. So the idea is that if you get known as something good or recognized, and if you allow yourself to sit in the reflection of the recognition, then it turns it into evil. I don't like the word evil, but it turns it into something negative, okay? It's like, oh, my God, I gave a good talk. Oh, God, everybody loves me. You know, blah, 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 blah. That's why, you know, to be in the flow of these calls, we have to show up and just let it happen. And when it's over, it's right to the one of the biggest things is et cetera. And, you know, there are periods of time when people are developing talents and they do need support. They do need encouragement. And in that case, I wouldn't call it evil or bad, you know, because if they get encouragement and they know they're reaching somebody, I needed to know that I was reaching somebody. You know, we're talking here, and I can't see people. It's not like doing a live talk. And it took me a while to learn how to feel the energy so that I could feel when people were with me, okay? So,
The key word here is virtue, though.
Virtue means it's a very high,
you know, you have high, it's not that easy to attain to that level of of perfectionist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now Terry has to interpret.
Yeah. Okay.
Terry has to interpret this one. Are you ready, Terry?
Ready.
The saint inspires the vitality of all lives without holding back.
Now,
can you feel Terry blushing?
Right. It gets a little off.
You want to give a take on that, Terry?
Well, I realize it's like that the process is very familiar with me, like just giving one's all and to the highest good and the best for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think it's another way of saying unconditional love, okay?
Yeah.
You know, because when you have unconditional love, it kind of glows around you. And anyone who's in the space can feel it. It's not like you're focusing your love. It's just love. And whoever's around you feels the love, okay?
It just radiates out to everybody.
Right. We talk to everybody. That's why we can do this. You know, we talk to everybody, and we move into a loving space, and you all share that space with us, and we share the space with you, your invisible selves, okay? And let's see if anyone else wants to make a comment on that.
All callers are unmuted.
Anyone want to say anything?
I could comment on
it. Okay, go ahead. Who is that?
Jeannie again.
Hi, Jeannie. Okay.
I'm struck by I don't remember the exact wording, but you said it inspires the vitality of all life, and it makes me think that that he's saying that the goodness, the unselfishness, the givingness of a saint, you know, which is basically what they are. If you've attained that level of open-heartedness, then it's—I don't want to use the word pro-life, but it is kind of life-giving. And anything that inspires the opposite, like fear, is really taking us more towards death and dying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now. Here's a good one. Here's a good one. Because he does not, I think this will be the last one I do. Because he does not claim for the credit, hence shall not lose it. Jim, are you on the line? Sorry, let's see. Is the line open? Jim, are you listening?
I don't know if he is. He just
right.
came in. He went to the kitchen.
Okay.
He's in Ohio.
Right.
anyone else want to interpret that one?
Repeat it again, Wynn.
Because he does not claim for the credit, hence shall not lose it.
Okay.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Pauline, you want to try it?
When you are doing something in for the highest good from a place where it's service to another to others, you will be able to continue doing what you, or you'll be able to continue to do that. And this is actually very interesting because there is a lot of Qigong master in China, or Qigong masters in China, who, when they got the fame and the fortune, lost their ability to transmit energy, to see through our skin and into our bones and all that stuff, and they lost it. Because their focus is now no longer for the highest good or in service to others. Now they're basically, trying to help themselves to gain power and fortune. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of these verses, actually what it does is that it helps us to focus or place our attention or our intention on how do we proceed when it comes to, it's almost like it's guidepost or the map to give us, hints and ideas on how we should live and how we should, do things according to, that idea of, we're all one, the idea that we are here to be, to be helping each and every one person, including ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think I would interpret that. I would say that if you're going to be in the flow, as soon as you claim credit, you screw up the flow. It's like, it's not, when you're in the flow, there is this feeling that you're doing it and you're not doing it, both at the same time, okay? You are doing it because you're there. There's I'm not doing it because it's happening through you. So when you try to suddenly take credit, it blocks the flow, even if you take it internally. And I remember when I used to play music, I went through this period of time when I was just first getting up in front of audiences, and I was usually ignored. It was like no one knew I was there. I was pretty shy. And I thought all I had to do was play a really good song and everyone would just fall over. And they didn't. They didn't even hear the song because they were all preoccupied talking to each other. And then somewhere in the midst of that, I did something and the room came together and everybody was paying attention to me. And at that moment that they paid attention to me, I fell apart because they said, oh, my God, look what I'm doing. They're paying attention to me. Oh, no, no, no. It's kind of like, and I kept working on that. So when the people paid attention to me, I could turn it into a, I didn't understand all this, but I was just working on trying to figure it out. I could turn it into a flow. And I didn't have to lose the audience again. Because when I would notice the attention and take it in and give myself credit in any way, shape, or form, and I don't know if the giving me credit works, but just even saying, oh, my God, they're paying attention to me, I would lose it at that moment, okay? And
because you became so conscious.
Yeah. And so that's why on these calls, I can go on and on and on because I never stop to look at it or take credit. And so the energy holds. And then if you're on the call, we flow on the same energy. And it's not like we're entertaining you or trying to keep your attention. Everyone is free willingly in a flow. In any case, I wanted to talk about the I Ching a little bit. And for some people, this could be a really exciting tool for you. And I wanted to tell you how I think it works, okay? It has what's called 64 hexagrams. And each hexagram describes some aspect of life. Mm-hmm. And it's like each hexagram talks about an aspect of life, and then each hexagram has six what they call lines in it. And the six lines refine the interpretation of the aspect of life. So what happens is you have to create these six lines. And there's more than one way to do it. But the easiest way to do it is with three coins. And you flip the coins. Did you ever do this, Pauline?
No, I'm not really very superstitious.
Never did. Okay. So you never did the I Ching, okay? Right?
Well, I've learned some of the methods of fortune telling in them, but I live a lot of times I live in my head, and these things don't really resonate, even though to a certain extent it does.
Yeah. Well, what happens is when you flip the coins indicate the hexagram and the line to read.
Right.
And the theory is that you've asked a question. You've gone into a contemplation and you've asked a question. And when you flip the coins will guide you to the answer to your question, okay? And the thing about the I Ching is I stopped using it, but I used it a lot at one point. And for some people, it could be really helpful, even to give you a very big contemplation on your problem. And here's the reason I think it worked. And it took me a while to figure this out. And I know it worked. I know it. I did it over and over again. And I did it when I was dumb. And it still worked. I'm still dumb. I'm just less dumb. But what it is, you know, we talk oftentimes about that you exist in a hologram. And that hologram potentially goes right back to source. And when you take a quiet moment and contemplate, you can move into a more expanded hologram. Mm-hmm. As you move into a more expanded hologram, each aspect of all these dimensions has its own energy to it. And you're connecting with all those energies at that moment. And so you're creating a macrocosm-microcosm connection between what you're contemplating and these coins that you're flipping. And so the coins are going to point you, if you actually do it, and you'd be surprised, it's not as hard as you think. The coins will point you to some wise advice as to your question. Now, I did send a copy of an I Ching to everyone on the list, and not everyone on the list for the calls. And I also sent a link to the web where it tells you how to flip coins, which I'll briefly tell you, but you'll probably have to go back and look at it. And I hope I can remember even. If I say it wrong, you'll have to correct me later. But to give you an example, here's one of the 64 holograms. It's called Holding Together, Union. And let's just say, for example, I asked a question, and I had a certain woman that I was thinking, is this going to be a relationship of holding together? Or I had anything, a job, a friend, you know? And in general, they say the judgment, holding together brings good fortune. Mm-hmm. Inquire of the oracle once again whether you possess sublimity, constancy, and perseverance. Then there is no blame. Those who are uncertain gradually join. Whoever come too late meets with misfortune. So if I was interpreting that, I would say there's a moment for things coming together. And if you want to be part of something, if you go too late, the energy is already established, and you don't get in on the same level. Like the guy who sold his Apple stock for $800 and didn't make, it would have been worth $30 billion today or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Beatle guy who was going to be their drummer and dropped out and Ringo came in or something. You know, it's like to find something really good and come in when it's forming, you have the most important position. And if you wait, you can't go back to that position. It's true with a relationship. There's a moment when you can move into the relationship, and there's always a little bit of risk involved when you come in at that point. So you could be wrong, but this is the risk-reward thing, and I think that's what they're saying. And then it says, on the earth is water, the image of holding together, thus the kings of antiquity bestowed the different states as fiefs and cultivated friendly relations with the feudal lords. And so I'm not sure how to interpret that. I guess in China, there were a bunch of kings and there were a bunch of smaller guys that ran little towns and villages, and the kings would hold energy and have friendly relationships with the smaller lords. And then it goes into lines. And the lines usually give you the specific guidance on your question. Now, if you do this, you take three coins in your hand, cup your hand, and contemplate your question. Maybe for 30 seconds or even a minute. Because you want to connect all the holograms up in your space while you're doing this. So it's not magic. You're doing it. You are doing it. So you're doing everything. And you're making the connection to the higher holograms, which are now reviewing your question and are going to send the vibe down to make the coins come up so that you get accurate information. Now, one of the things about this, and this is where you have to be careful, if it's giving you a review of this moment of how all the energies are lined up, tomorrow it could change. So you have to be open to the fact that it could change, and it may not be valid tomorrow. And because the universe is recreating itself every moment. So the answer to the question could be 180 degrees different tomorrow. And then if you start asking the same question too much, you dissipate the energy. So here's the different lines. And it's like there's six lines in every hexagram. Six at the beginning means hold to him in truth and loyalty. This is without blame. Truth like a full earthen bowl. Thus in the end, good fortune comes from without. So in this case, what you were thinking about holding together with seems positive. Six in the second place, hold to him inwardly. Perseverance brings good fortune. So in this case, they said, the first one was hold to him in truth and loyalty. So it's more overt. That's an overt relationship. Hold to him inwardly. It means you're holding the space of connection inside of yourself. Six in the third place, you hold together with the wrong people. So they're suggesting to not do it. Six in the fourth place means hold to him outwardly also. Perseverance brings good fortune. Okay? Nine in the fifth place. Manifestation of holding together. In the hunt, the king uses beaters on three sides only, whatever that means, and foregoes game that runs off in front. The citizens need no warning, good fortune. Okay, well, I'd have to read that 10 more times to figure out what they're saying. So I'm going to leave that one go. And six at the top means he finds no head for holding together misfortune. So they're really saying holding together in a group, there's no one to be the center of the group. So that's misfortune. That's just one hexagram. Let's see. If you go through these things, the taming power of the small, treading. Next one is standstill, stagnation. So it's very interesting to try this out. Just contemplate different things in your life and see what comes up. Because you can see that it's very wise and it can trigger you into really, really good cognitions. And there's a whole little chart in the book that I sent you which shows, you know, how to create the hexagram and how to flip the coins. You need three coins, and I'm trying to remember, I think you get to have six lines. That's called the hexagram. Six lines, and it's either a broken line or a solid line. Broken line or a solid line. The way you decide whether it's a broken line or a solid line is by the way the three coins come up. Like I think, don't write this down. Read up what I sent. I hope it was right. Like if you get two tails and a head, I think that's a broken line. If you get three tails, it's a broken line, but it has another meaning to it. If you get two heads and a tail, it's a solid line. And if you get three heads, it's a solid line, and it means something else. Maybe it's more more intense. You know, the answer is more directed. But it talks about how a human relates in society to a woman, to various things you're undertaking. Like, for example, if you want to do a test, and, you know, this is just a test, I'm not saying it'll work. You're looking for a job, and you go through the phone book, and you have 20 companies on a sheet of paper. You look at each company and contemplate it, and roll your coins and see what comes up, and see if you get a direction to say, go here, okay? You may not, I don't know, but that's one idea of how to use it.
When BB is released.
We're going to leave right now. Okay, we did it. Pauline, thank you so much. We can do this again.
Sure.
This Chinese stuff is interesting.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about what you just said, but I guess we ran out of time, so next time.
You can continue, but we're still on the air right now.
I know, but BBS is leaving.
All right. Thank you so much, Pauline. Great to have you.
No problem.
Okay, so remember, you have an I Ching on today's thing today. And, you know, next time we're on, we're going to talk about Chinese dragons. We're going to talk about how Christianity relates to Chinese people.
Sure. And my interpretation or my opinion only, but sure. We're going to do that.
Yeah.
It's great to hear about a different culture. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.